Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Wix. If you are looking to create the best website ever, then you need Wix. Get started now by going to Wix.com. That's Wix.com/podcast. Get 10% off at Wix.com/podcast. It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019 at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what should be a peaceful new condo in the city turns into a waking nightmare. Did a listener experience a psychic attack? And a real-life experience, the mysterious fog instills a deep fear that lasts a lifetime.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. 855-853-4802. Our phone number to call in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to share your ghost story with us. Write it on the websites at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want the bonus material, all the extra episodes and all that, sign up to be an extra podcast person, an EPP, at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. So got some tickets left for our live show August 11th at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs. If you want those, go to realghoststoriesonline.com and get them before they are gone. August 11th, like I said, the date of that at the Crescent, Eureka Springs, Arkansas. We're going to be doing a live episode of Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks there. It's going to be a fun night, so get those tickets before they are sold out. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
Loopy, but good.
What flavor of cough drop are you using today?
It is a nasty cherry filled with like mint in the middle. It's awful.
Ew. What did you get? Oh my God. Look what you got.
Tastes like shit.
No, it's more like this. Ready? Ricola! Can you do the...
That's a foghorn.
Well, that's what they do. That's that giant, I know it's a foghorn, but in the Ricola commercials, they have, what is that instrument that they're...
I have no idea.
They're on the mountains.
In, like a Swiss didgeridoo. I don't even know.
A Swiss didgeridoo. What is a didgeridoo?
You know, the Australians have that thing that they play.
No.
Yeah, it's, you know what I'm talking about.
Okay. I really don't, but...
It's kind of a, you blow through it and it makes a weird noise.
Okay. Maybe it's that, but yeah.
I don't know. I got these because I couldn't find my cough drop of choice.
Secrets.
Uh-huh. Oh. And everybody these else, are awful, but they work.
Everybody else had the big invisible scarf wrapped around their neck already, and you got the guy playing the weird instrument.
I can't get Halls. I have like an immunity to Halls.
Really?
My mom used to give them to us like candy when we were kids, and so they don't
so
work.
So it doesn't do shit
for
they
you. They don't work. No.
It sucks.
Like, here, be quiet. Here's Halls.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. was going to make some sort of horrible joke, like, well, my mom used to give me meth or something horrible. It's like, but that's a horrible joke because there's probably parents who do that shit today.
Yeah.
So it's not as funny as, anyway. 855. Yeah, I don't know. Different time and place. A joke might have been okay, but not so much anymore. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I used to beg for rock candy.
Yeah.
Didn't really get it very much. I remember it looked so neat and exciting. And the Hallmark store, I remember, had rock candy. There was like bins of it in the mall. And my mom would always talk about how much she liked it when she was a kid. Mm-hmm. And then we get to the Hallmark. Can we get some rock candy? No, not today. And eventually I did get to try some rock candy. Mm-hmm. What a letdown that shit is.
Yeah, it's not very good.
It's just like, you're thinking, oh, it's so pretty. This is so cool. This is going to taste amazing. It's blueberry or whatever. And then you get it and it's like, oh, this just tastes like I'm eating granules of sugar. Mm-hmm. It's just like, wow. So the lesson being, kids, if there's any children listening going, I'm excited to try rock candy for the first time in my life, give it up now. The dream is over.
You can let that go.
Yeah. Don't dream it's over. What's the song?
Hey now.
Hey now, hey now. Don't dream it's over. Rock candy sucks. Hey now, hey now. So go with the candy buttons. Remember candy buttons too?
No, I got normal candy. I didn't get weird candy.
It's just old candy.
I got normal.
It's from the old world.
No, I didn't get that shit.
You got normal candy in Halls.
Yeah.
So there you go. Snickers and Halls. That was Halloween for us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go. Can I get some Halls? Give me your Snickers. I'll trade you this honey lemon.
It's funny because it's true.
855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. I don't know why Snickers and Halls just sounds funny. Let's go to our first race. I recently traveled to Chicago to visit my friend who've had to just move there. They're renting a charming condo just outside the city. And they told me that I was the first of their friends or family to come and visit them. They gave me a tour of the house when I got there, and I didn't get any sort of vibes from it at all. I usually have a tough time sleeping in other people's houses because I have this thing about ghosts and haunted houses, and I'd rather avoid them if I can. I slept just fine in the house, though, and I was completely comfortable there. I had no reason to believe that anything was hanging around there because my friend or her fiance had never mentioned anything. One afternoon, their baby was refusing to nap in his pack and play downstairs because there was too much going on that he wanted to be a part of. After a bit, I told my friends that I'd take him up to his room and rock him to sleep. I took him upstairs, shut the door, and then sat on the rocking chair and swayed him. He was tired, I could tell, because he kept rubbing his eyes and laying his head down on my shoulder. Every now and then, he'd lift it to stare at the wall behind me. After a few seconds of staring, he'd break out into a grin and start laughing. After he did this a few more times, I looked at the wall behind me, and the only thing that was there was a collage of pictures of him and his parents. That was it. But he kept looking at the wall, smiling and laughing. After a few times of doing this, I got the sense that we weren't alone in the room, and the baby wasn't sleeping because of it. He clearly wasn't scared, as whoever was in there was making him laugh and smile. So I simply said aloud, I don't know who's here, but this baby needs a nap, so I'd really appreciate it if you'd just let him sleep. He can come back later, but right now he needs to sleep. Part of me felt a little ridiculous, as I was basically talking to myself, or a baby who couldn't understand me. However, about 10 minutes later, the baby was fast asleep in my arms and hadn't stared at the wall behind me since I'd spoken aloud. It was all bizarre, but I still didn't feel uncomfortable by being here. I let the baby rest in my arms for a few more minutes before putting him in his crib and headed downstairs to rejoin my friend. Knowing she wouldn't think I was crazy, I recounted the experience I had, and she thought that maybe it was one of her grandparents paying a visit and playing with the baby. I told her that I hoped I hadn't sounded rude to them. She's never mentioned having any sort of experiences like that, but I seem to attract them anywhere I go. I have zero doubts that the baby had been visited by someone who loved him very much, and who just wanted to play.
I agree. And if they're nice enough to respect your wishes when you say, hey, this kid needs to sleep. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you have to tell that to living relatives, too, that just want to see the baby. So it's not to be unexpected.
Yeah, you do. I mean, this is, you have to remind the living sometimes. The dead, I'm sure, the same. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of times we almost assign different different knowledge levels to the dead. Like, oh, they must be smarter now. If they, this is how they were in life, that's how they're going to be in death.
Yeah.
That's what to be, what's to be expected. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to share your ghost story with us, do it 24 hours a day, 7 days of the week. Got that new EPP USB drive out. If you want that, become a yearly EPP or renew your yearly EPP membership. Become an EPP, upgrade, whatever you want. When you become a yearly EPP, you get that. I can either send you the physical drive, which is pretty cool. It's this neat little wooden USB drive with our logo on it that is 8 gigs, so you can completely reuse it around the office, whatever you want. Or I can just get you a download link, and you can get all the access instantly. So your call, what you'd like when you sign up. That's the yearly EPP bonus right now. There's a mega EPP episode on there exclusively on the drive. A new Richard and Chattanooga special with never-before-heard calls. Some of my favorite interviews are on there, including interviews with Laura DiDio, Andrea Perrin, Christopher Edward McKinnell, which is Ed and Lorraine Warren's grandson. All sorts of really interesting stuff. More than 10 hours of content when you become a yearly EPP. That's your bonus for being a yearly EPP. That's our latest one. So if you want that, sign up or renew at ghostpodcast.com. If you want to do it through Patreon, we have no way to sign up for a yearly membership. It just doesn't exist as an option. But if you do the $20 a month level for 3 months, I will get you one as well. So patreon.com/realghoststories or just ghostpodcast.com. Let's go to our next story. It says, hello, I've been listening to your show for about 7 or 8 months. I have 2 weird stories for you all. I'll try to make it as short as possible. I live in Michigan now, but I lived in, I can't say the name of it. Ocala? I don't know. I laid down for bed about 10 p.m. relaxing and trying astral projection. And I don't know what happened. But I see 2 people dressed in a dark cloak sitting on the ground, which looked like a darkened cave. They looked my way, and one of them said to the other one, let's teach him a lesson. They started saying something that I don't know what was said when I started squealing like a pig. My body straightens out, and the squealing was very loud. It lasted for about 5 minutes. I have no idea what was going on there. Could it have been a physical attack? Then, when I was about 14 years old, after I went to bed, I had a strange feeling that something was there. I'm not sure. I heard footsteps walking down the hall, and I thought it was my sister. Her bedroom was downstairs, so I'm wondering why she would be upstairs. But anyway, I heard the footsteps come down the hall, and I said, Sue, is that you? In a low voice. My parents' bedroom was across the hall from mine, and she said, yeah, it's me. So I said, come here for a minute. I have to tell you something. My bedroom door started to open up, and when it got halfway open, I felt something push me out of bed. When I opened up my eyes, I was lying on the floor, scared, and I didn't know what happened, and I couldn't explain what happened. But my sister was not there. Then I got up and went downstairs to my sister's bedroom to see if she's there. She was lying in bed, and it was all dark. So I know she didn't get up. I'd love your guys' opinion and what happened. I believe in ghosts. I believe in aliens. I believe in all that. Thank you for listening.
Do you think when you try to astral project, or you just do astral project, that you somehow end up a little bit on the side over there with the ghost, even though you're not dead?
I think you're opening up a door to that stuff being a possibility.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know how to begin trying to astral project.
Me neither.
Would you want to try it sometime? Should we get a book on that?
No, I don't want to try any of that shit because...
Watch a YouTube?
I'll get stuck on the other side. You know me.
Then what happens with you on this side?
I don't know. Coma? I'm just stuck. I don't know.
Jenny's not with us today because she was astral projecting.
She's not made it back yet.
She'll be back shortly. I think that once you kind of start dabbling in that stuff, yeah, you can open up a lot of doors. Mm-hmm. So that might be just what you had going on there. All right, you got a website that that could use a little improvement? Do you need a website for your business, for your blog, for whatever it may be? Wix is a place you need to go in either of those cases. And whether you are someone who knows much about designing websites, maybe you're very advanced, Wix has a platform that's awesome for you. Maybe you're someone who doesn't know much at all about designing a website, and email can be sometimes a difficulty for you. Wix is the website for you. They make it so intuitively easy to create a great-looking website. Gone are the days of having to hire super expensive web designers and developers and all that, and then get this plugin and that plugin and add this code over here and then manage this. No, you can do it for yourself and get one hell of a website. It's why over 140 million people use Wix for their website. You can get started and publish for free. Yes, to make sure you love it. Get started now by going to Wix.com. It's Wix.com/podcast. And get started for free. And then if you love it, you want to keep going, 10% off. Yeah. Yeah, 10% off. Go to Wix.com/podcast. Great offer there for you. You can choose from over 500 stunning templates or start from scratch, from the ground up. So whether you want something that's, you know, kind of just change the stuff out, it's already laid out for you, or you know exactly how you're going to build this thing from the ground up and you're very versed in coding, whatever it may be. You can have little experience, no experience, tons of experience. This is a platform that works for everyone. That's what makes it so awesome. You change, customize, add anything you want, text, images, video, you name it. You can do it. Hundreds of design features and apps to grow your business online, including video backgrounds, galleries, menus, forms, lists, buttons, social bars, clip art, strips. It's all there for you. And kids, It's not 1997 anymore. If your website resembles something from the late 90s, and many websites do still to this day, it's time to get on top of it. And not only will your site look better and you know, just speak of reputability, it's also going to help with SEO. All sites include built-in SEO tools like search engine optimization. Get found online in search engines like Google and Bing. You can use Wix's SEO Wiz for a personalized plan. It's all there for you. I can't say enough good things about these guys. Go to Wix.com. That's Wix.com/podcast. Get 10% off Wix.com/podcast. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter says, "Hey guys, discovered your podcast a few months ago. I've been an avid listener ever since. I've been loving the show so far and look forward to new episodes as well as being an EPP. I've been thinking about writing in this story to you guys for a while, but here it is. It takes place in the fall of 2008. I was driving with my then current girlfriend, who I'll refer to as K, and another female friend, who I'll refer to as S. We were driving home from a gathering, and I was giving S a ride home. I have a single cab, Dodge Ram. S was sitting in the passenger seat, and K was sitting in the middle. We live in the Central Valley of California, which at times can get pretty foggy, and it was looking like this evening was going to be one of those foggy nights. S kind of living on the outskirts of town, so we were driving down a somewhat country road across town. The closer we got to her house, the more rural the area got, and it started to become foggier. Maybe 30 to 40 feet visibility, about the length of the intersections that were out in the area. It was evening time. The sun had just set, so it was that in-between time where it wasn't dark, but also no direct sunlight. The intersections all had stop signs at the time, so I was driving slowly as not to blow a stop sign or possibly hit a car or pedestrian that came creeping out of the fog. It became dark enough that I had to turn on my lights, but it was still light enough for the remaining daylight to light up the fog in this very eerie orange glow. We came up to a stop sign that a car was waiting at already for another car to cross after the first went by. The car in front of me started through the intersection. That's when I saw a woman on the other side of the intersection waiting to cross. I flashed my lights at him as a sign to cross ahead of me, and I'll wait. He started to cross the intersection. I could very plainly make out what he was wearing, but could not see his face. He had cowboy boots, blue jeans, and a red and black flannel shirt on with the sleeves rolled up, and was wearing either a type of field worker's sun hat or sombrero of some type. I could even make out the color of his skin, and the skin also looked wrinkled. So I was thinking he was probably an older Mexican gentleman. Now, this is where things get weird. He was crossing on the other side of the intersection, just in range of view that the fog had obscured, but was crossing parallel with my truck. So I should have seen him walk all the way across the street, but halfway through he started to do what looked like disappear into the fog. And not like all at once as if he was walking away from the truck and into the fog, but his head and his shoulders became almost transparent at first and then disappeared. That happened all the way down the figure until all I could see left were a pair of legs walking. They reached the other side of the street and they turned away and walked off into the fog, disappearing altogether. I was shocked. I couldn't tell if I just saw a person slowly disappear in front of me or if the fog was playing tricks on my eyes. I asked K and S if they saw what I had just seen, Kay was preoccupied with something on her phone and just then looked up for the first time, having missed it, but S was staring straight forward, white in the face, let it drawn out. Yes, as if she did see but wasn't sure what she saw. I started forward finally, rolling down S's window, telling her to look out and listen for someone to see if there was a person there. We drove up to what the person, or where they should have been at, and there was no one there. The fog was getting thicker, but it was not thick enough to totally obscure someone who had just walked by seconds before. Now, keep in mind that this whole experience lasted maybe 10 to 15 seconds from pulling up to the intersection, me seeing and waiting for the gentleman to cross, and then us pulling up to see if it had disappeared. If someone did cross that street, we should have seen or at least heard them walking in the general direction of the road. As we were slowly driving by the area where the man should have been, S became very uneasy and was telling me to drive away from there. I could tell she was pretty spooked, so I did. Kay had no idea what was going on, so we told her. I don't know if she believed us. I've asked S since then what she thought it was. And we saw what we saw that day, and she just always answers, I don't know. I guess it maybe this was a pedestrian who was hit and killed one foggy evening, and now there's a residual of his crossing the street. I've gone by the intersection countless times since then and always feel uneasy driving by, especially on foggy nights, but I have never seen this man again. I even checked local news stories on fatal pedestrian accidents, and there were only a couple quick stories on pedestrians being struck or killed on foggy nights out in that area, but the articles didn't mention an intersection. One did, however, mention the victim was a Hispanic male. What do you guys think it was? I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts. Once again, a big fan of what you guys do and appreciate all the time and work you put into each episode. Keep up the good work.
I think he's pretty accurate with the pedestrian being hit and then it's residual, because it didn't seem to really interact with them at all.
You think fog brings, it's almost like a vehicle for things to show themselves that otherwise wouldn't be able to?
I think from the standpoint of, we know that water's a conduit. Mm-hmm. Fog is just that. It's
sure.
Basically, you know, a cloud that's
yeah.
Just at ground level. I think that might make it easier.
I was thinking, like, when you, you can, like, shoot a hologram into fog, mm-hmm. and it will show up because it's bouncing off the light of the fog. And if you just shoot it into clear air, obviously you don't see it because mm-hmm. there's nothing for it to bounce off of. So I'm kind of on that principle.
Okay.
Of it just being an easier way to see what may always be there, not necessarily just because the fog's there, but it almost brings out things in an easier fashion than otherwise.
That could be too.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that creepy fog story. 855-853-4802 is our number. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your stories with us. Let's go to the next one. It says, I live in a house I grew up in as a child in Corpus Christi, Texas. I'm 28 and we moved there when I was 2. I remember having experiences in my bedroom as I was going to sleep. I was probably between 4 or 5 years old. I had a children's movie viewer and I saw something jump out of it. First, it was a lady. I talked to it, said hello, and then it changed into a few other things. Can't really remember, but I never talked back. Finally, it changed back into a fox or a dog, maybe, and ran out of my room. I remember being terrified at first, but then when it ran, I called it back, wanting to ask questions since it wasn't scary looking. I never had an experience after that. I got married about 4 years ago and now have a 19-month-old little boy. I bought my house to my parents, who have retired and moved out of town. My son sleeps in the same room I did when I was a child. We've officially lived there by ourselves for a little over a month, and he's never had any problems going to sleep. He has a children's music box. It hangs on his crib and plays music. Our nightly bedtime ritual has been the same. He takes a bath, brushes his teeth, and then we read a story. Turn on his music, turn off the light, and close the door. He puts himself to sleep. Never cries, always just lies down and goes to sleep by himself. About 3 days ago, this all changed. Sunday night, today's Wednesday, I put him to bed as usual and went to go fold laundry in my room, which is in the back of the house. I heard my son fussing a little, but sometimes he plays or fusses and then goes to bed. This time he started screaming and crying like I've never heard out of him before. He climbed out of his crib and started banging on his door, screaming, Mama, Mama. Of course, I ran to his aid and tried to calm him down. I took him back to his bed, but he was in a panic. So I took him to my room for a bit, and then after we both settled down, I was shocked to hear him scream like that. He was terrified. I took him back to his room,
and rocked him until he fell asleep. I closed his door and went to bed. This was about 10:30 p.m. At 1 a.m., he woke up screaming again in the same petrified tone, so I just put him to bed with my husband and me so we could sleep through the night. During the day and even in the evening, he's not afraid to go into his room and play or get his toys as long as the light is on. If the light is off, he just stares in there from the hallway. He had to be rocked to sleep Monday night when I said to him that it was time for bed. He immediately went into panic mode, would not lay down in his crib, even though I told him I was going to stay with him. I rocked him to sleep and left his door open instead of closing it, and he did not wake up that night. Thank goodness. Last night I had class and my mom came to babysit. I got home early enough to put him to bed, and since he hadn't shown any anxiety during bedtime rituals, I decided to try to put him to bed like before. He turned on his music box and laid down, no problem. He even hugged and kissed me goodnight. But when I turned off the light and closed the door, he freaked out. Climbed out of his crib. Even though I lowered the bass to the very bottom, he still found a way out. Came running towards the door. I opened it immediately, of course. He ran to my mom, who was sitting on the couch, and sat with her. Just kept looking over her shoulder towards his room like there was something there. Ended up rocking him to sleep. I've been leaving the door open so he can see the light if he wakes up, and hopefully won't be scared, and he was fine. My son talks a little bit, and the only weird thing he's done is point into the hallway when I'm putting him to sleep and say dada when his dad isn't home. I have a dog and a cat, and neither of them act out of the ordinary, bucking into corners and things of that nature. I've never felt cold spots in that room, had goosebumps, heard voices, footsteps, or anything of that nature in this room. None of his toys go missing or get moved to different places than where I left them, and nothing gets stacked. I've not seen anything since my childhood encounter and have never felt watched or creeped out until my son started acting this way. We've not had any relatives pass away recently, and I can't think of any reason for a spirit to present itself now. I guess I'm looking for some understanding regarding what's happening. My husband works 2 night shifts a week, and I'm really creeped out in my own house right now. I've been praying extensively in his room every night before I put him to bed. I just don't want him to be scared of his own room. I want him to feel safe, but I'm finding it hard to reassure him when I am a little scared myself.
Are there other things going on beyond the little one being scared? Because it didn't sound like there was, you know, any other real signs of anything else.
I think the only other sign is what it goes back to what she experienced in her childhood.
Sure.
Of seeing those things pop out of the movie viewer. Mm-hmm. And she vividly remembers that. So there was kind of that sign of maybe there's something else here, but it doesn't seem like there's much else. And while the movie viewer experience, she kind of looks back on it, seems in almost somewhat of a fond curiosity. Mm-hmm. This obviously, you know, is much more troubling to him than.
Sure.
Yeah. You know. So I'm wondering what his story is going to be when he's able to really recount it, if he remembers it.
Right, right. That's a hard one because when kids get close to 2, and I'm not an expert on kids, I just know the kids that I had. They get to 2-ish, they start to develop like a separation anxiety thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like he's getting kind of close to that. He's about 20 months. So it could be part that. It could be, you know, more imagination taking over and him scaring himself.
Mm-hmm.
He might be seeing something. It might be something he's inherited from her. I don't know. But I could say it could be just a phase that he's going to outgrow, or it could be the beginning of starting to kind of see things as a child that he may outgrow as well.
Only time will really tell.
Yeah. It's just there's not enough to really say, here's what's going on.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that experience with us here on the program. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
1985. I lived with my sister. Dodge City, Kansas. She had a Ouija board, and we took it out one night, me and a couple of my buddies, and started messing with it. It didn't work very well with the guys. My sister gets home. Me and her get on it, and we start asking silly questions. Just silly questions. We then got to the point where we asked if a spirit was present. It spelt out the name David while me and my sister were on the planchet. We asked David what the goodbye on the bottom of the board meant? It responded and it spelled it out very clearly. It was for his mother. It's for my mother. We then asked it, why is it for your mother? And it spelled out, so she can be by my side. Kind of very slow, not very fast at all, just kind of slow. After that, we asked it, we were kind of, I don't know, just asking questions to the board. Why do you want her by your side? And it spelled this out, so she can meet, and it spelled the letters S-A-T-A, and it got to N, so she can meet Satan. At that moment, my sister threw it off the coffee table and instructed me to burn it. So me and my buddy, Jerry and John, I think was his name was, he had two first names. I can't remember him. He moved away. We took it outside in the middle of her big yard. She had this big yard and we tried to light it with a lighter. We were kids, 17, 18 years old. It wouldn't light. So we're freaking out. We run back inside and tell my sister, hey, it won't light. So she gives us some fingernail polish remover. So we go back outside. We pour the fingernail polish remover on the Ouija board in the planchet. Excuse me. And as soon as we lit this board up, these cats, cat-like screams started. They were all the way around us. It was really weird. I get chills talking about this still. They were just like cats screaming, but it seemed to circle us. The sound seemed to circle us. So we take off. We run inside, and me and Jerry, we get to the door at the same time. If you ever see those old Three Stooges movies where the two guys are at the door at the same time, trying to get in, that was us. Kind of comical there, but we get inside. Jerry grabs the rosary and starts praying. He's crying, and I'm freaking out. But that's about the extent of it, really. I've never touched a Ouija board since then. I never will. But anyway, one last note is I did have a cousin that lived in that house that died in a car wreck. He was married to my first cousin. His name was David, and he was an atheist. So, just really weird. So, there's my story. Thank you.
Go.
I think he's pretty lucky if once they burned it, nothing else happened.
Yeah. It's usually not the best idea.
Mm-mm.
To burn, but again, he's like, we were kids, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't really know any better. If you ever find yourself with a Ouija board that you shouldn't have been using in the first place, you want to get rid of it, typically burying is usually one of your better options.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can call in with your story where you get up the next morning and you find it back in the closet on top of Monopoly.
And it's not unusual when you're communicating with something through a Ouija board that it says it's somebody that you have lost or mm-hmm. you know of that has passed on. And it's not usually who it is.
Yeah. There's a, and I'm not pro Ouija board, but, you know, I was saying this the other day, I think there's like maybe two stories we've ever had on the show where the Ouija board story like ended up like not bad.
Mm-hmm.
I had one the other day.
Okay.
It's in the Mega EPP episode, when you become a yearly EPP. And the story, the gist of it is, some girls are playing with the Ouija board. They start communicating with, it seems to be this boy of the same age, but from a different mm-hmm. time and place. Never gets, you know, nefarious or evil or dark. It's actually kind of in-depth, interesting conversations of kids from one generation communicating with a kid from another generation. And eventually they help him cross over.
Well, that's good.
And it's this kind of long story of everything that they talk about and how they ended up helping him. doesn't end with the cat dying or something. It's just like, holy shit. Because I'm reading the story for the first time when I'm recording, and I'm thinking, okay, how does this go bad?
Wait for it.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't go there.
That's cool.
And I said, this is the first, like, three out of God knows how many, thousands, mm-hmm. Where it doesn't end horrible. But if you want to, you know, hear that full one, that's in the Mega EPP episode. You get that when you become a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. All the details are there. You can find the posts on our social media as well. Lots of extras, the Richard and Chattanooga special there for you. You get the USB drive with more than 10 hours of material there for being a yearly EPP as an extra thank you. For that support. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, like I said, become an EPP, extra podcast person. You do the yearly thing, do the monthly thing, whatever works. Monthly's $5 a month. Yearly is 55. You get 1 month free and all the extras. So check it out, ghostpodcast.com or through patreon.com/realghoststories. Keep us on the air. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.